Hello and welcome to Keep You Posted, episode 9. My name is Hannah Trav. I'm a comedian, a law student, and today I'm hungover. Joining me as always is my lovely producer and friend, Ross Wiseman.
I'm youngover. That means I'm hungover. And also, I'm a young spry man, so I feel like I'm invincible.
Wow, way to both connect with me and also sick burn on my age here. Okay.
No problem. Also, I am...
Are you hungover?
A little bit. I'm feeling better now because we both had coffee.
Yes.
But also, I'm feeling a little sad because internet sensation Marnie the dog passed away.
I don't know who that is, but that's very sad.
You're missing out. She's adorable.
Well,
so
R.I.P. Marnie.
Yeah.
The dog.
Not our friend Marnie, who's very much alive.
You have a friend named Marnie?
In middle school, yeah.
Middle school Marnie, if you're listening, reach out.
What are you up to?
Well,
what are we up to today, Hannah?
First of all, let me also say, I thought a lot about if we should talk about coronavirus this week. We did talk about it last week. There's going to be more to talk about. All I'm going to say about it is wash your hands. Everybody just wash your hands as much as possible. Don't freak out. Just stay safe and wash your hands.
And also listen to the advice of the CDC as well as your local government, because a lot of people are buying up all these like medical supplies, masks and stuff unnecessarily.
Panic.
And that ends up affecting hospitals where people that really need this stuff don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I went into 2 CVSs the other day and they didn't have any hand sanitizer. So I'm just going to keep washing my hands because there's plenty of soap.
Wait, are people like buying up all the hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go on Amazon and buy hand sanitizer. I mean, I have a bunch stocked.
Yeah. I literally have one in front of me right now. But it's also people are obviously and understandably concerned and scared about this. But as of us recording this, things are still okay.
It's not great.
It's not great.
They're working on it. We're doing from what I understand, science is doing what it can.
And panicking is not going to help.
Just wash your freaking hands.
Wash your hands. And you know what? Alcohol, it's the main ingredient in hand sanitizer. So enjoy those daiquiris, my man.
Are we making hand sanitizer daiquiris? Are we washing our hands with strawberry daiquiris?
I was at a party last night. And my friend told me that you can make hand sanitizer using like aloe vera
and then some sort of grain
alcohol, which, you know, just wash your hands and you'll be fine. But if you really want to do that, have a fun DIY project with your family.
That's actually very cute. It's like making your own skin masks, facial.
It's all about self-care.
All about self-care.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on today's episode, we won't be talking about coronavirus,
except for right now.
We have 4 wonderful segments. We've got SCOTUS Notice. Then we're going to be talking Super Tuesday with Kate Banford. What's Taylor Swift up to? Well, you'll find out.
Yeah. And let's just say I get excited this time.
I know. It's so great. And then finally, we'll close with our favorite segment, HTHT, Hannah Trav's
Hot Takes,
where we're discussing hangovers. Because I have one, and so does Ross, kind of.
Hangover, the worst song by South Korean pop sensation Psy.
Is that a real thing?
Yep, it was a song they did with Snoop Dogg.
I'm so glad that I'm so educated on current events and pop culture.
Yeah, current events, like the guy that wrote Gangnam Style.
Oh, that's who that is.
Our man Psy.
Well, great. Well, now his hit song, Hangover, is getting plugged here. I hope we get some royalties. All right, let's do this. And now, SCOTUS Notice, baby.
Mini
edition, yes. So this week, the Supreme Court heard the oral arguments for a big case about abortion access rights and laws. My class that I've been taking is actually going to take up this case for our next assignment. So just a bit of background. I'm taking a course right now called the Supreme Court Current Term. In this class, we are each assigned a justice for 4 of the cases that the Supreme Court hears this term. And we have to act as their law clerk and prepare this huge memo and read all the briefs and the parties, you know, all the things that the parties submit before it comes before the Supreme Court. And then we have to decide based on what we think our justice would do. We have to decide on the outcome of the case, and we have our little like conference. It's very cute, and we have a really fun time nerding out about it. But because we're doing this podcast, and because I love the Supreme Court and I'm taking this class, I've been talking about it week by week. And so even though the Supreme Court heard the oral arguments this week, they won't make the decision until probably sometime in June or July. So for this episode, I'm just going to tell you a little bit of background about it. And then next week, I'm going to go more in depth about what the arguments for each party were, what happened at the oral argument, all of that. But I just want to give background on the case today. So for this case, I've been assigned Chief Justice John Roberts, which is a big deal because this case is coming after a case that was already ruled on called Whole Women's Health back in 2016, where the court held that a law in Texas restricting certain access to abortions was unconstitutional because it created an undue burden on women. So the law in Whole Woman's Health was very similar to the one at issue here. It was in Texas. That was that abortion providers can only provide or have to have admitting privileges at a local hospital in order to perform an abortion, which again, I'll go more into this next week. But basically what that does is it limits and restricts the medical providers who can give abortions if they don't have admitting privileges. And the argument that the law made was, oh, it's safer that way if there's a complication. But on the other side, pro-choice advocates noted that like there's very rarely complications with abortions that require a patient to be admitted to the hospital. And so really, this is just kind of tailored to strip away some access to abortion. So regardless of, I'm going to be very outspoken. I'm pro-choice. I don't think that should surprise anyone here on this podcast. If you're listening to it and you're pro-life, whoops, what did you get? How'd you get here? But you know, obviously there's varying degrees of pro-choice. My point being that access to abortions, I think, is extremely important, and I can't be unbiased on that. So as you hear me talk about this, if you feel differently, sorry, not sorry. So I have to be Justice Roberts, and he's very conservative. He's very pro-life. However, he's also very much an originalist when it comes to the court upholding previous rulings. And in Whole Woman's Health, this case that they ruled on before, the court, he dissented in that case. He did not agree with their ruling, but the court held that the law was put an undue burden on women. It was too much for them. It restricted rights on so that it was unconstitutional and that it couldn't be upheld. So everyone is watching John Roberts right now because he is such a firm believer in something called stare decisis, which is basically once the Supreme Court rules on something, they really shouldn't overrule it unless there's like a really good way not to. Okay. And so the parties in this argument are, I mean, in this case are arguing that this law is just like the one that they struck down in Texas. So Louisiana shouldn't be able to do this. Are you following?
I think so. Yeah. Like that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. So during the oral arguments, there were questions. Again, I'll go over this later. And I wanted to introduce this week just because it just happened. But I'm preparing, as I prepare to write my paper and have our conference in my class, I'm going to be reading all the briefs. And I want to better explain next week, once I've done more of my homework and I'm not hungover, what exactly in this case they're arguing more. I'll do more of the legal analysis piece of it. But just from the headlines, I wanted you guys to know that this is a big deal because if now that we have a conservative majority on the court, if the justices, especially John Roberts, agree to kind of make these changes and overrule this precedent, this could mean a lot of issues for access to safe legal abortions. It's very important. It's an emotional issue for me. It's honestly hard because when we do our conference in class, I have to lead the conference since I'm playing the Chief Justice. And it's just an emotionally charged issue. And what more can I say?
We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, next week I'll be giving the legal background and we'll be really SCOTUSing it up. But If you have, and hey, if you, because I'm setting this up for next week, if you have questions about the case or if you read something specifically like about a law piece and you're like, I don't know what that means, can you explain it? Tweet at us or Instagram or whatever and ask me, because then I can, when I'm writing the segment and when I'm going more into it, focus on that particular piece. So I definitely want to, you know, stress to you guys, you can engage with us and ask us to look into things. In fact, someone sent a message to the podcast on Twitter this week asking me to look into some Supreme Court stuff about legalization of marijuana. And I'm very open to looking into some of that. So I am going to focus on this case for now, but please send questions and suggestions and all that. I love it. And we'll see you next week. Super Tuesday was my birthday and Ross's birthday, but also a big time election. Here joining us is the wonderful Kate Banford.
Hello.
We're talking Super Tuesday. What a whirlwind. We recorded Sunday.
Sunday
like afternoon. Yeah. And somehow we missed Pete dropping out.
Amy dropping out.
The return of Beto Turdface O'Rourke. So Super Tuesday, going into it, we were going to see how Bloomberg performed. He later dropped out. We were going to see how Warren performed. She later dropped out. So now it comes down to two super old white dudes, Bernie and Biden. So Biden won Alabama, Arkansas, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia.
Wow, you sound like Johnny Cash.
I'm thinking about all the states I've had my heart broken
in. If there's one person that Johnny Cash would love, it's Joe Biden.
I thought you were going to say it's me. And I was like, he might. I'm nice.
Yeah, I think so.
Bernie won California, Vermont, Utah, Colorado. It really was crazy. So, Kate, you were in California.
I was in California on Super Tuesday.
And what did you see? Tell us.
What did I see? I saw long lines late at night. I was like 9:30 and I saw people still waiting in line.
Wow.
So what? That's like an hour and a half, 2.5 hours after the polls closed.
Damn.
They're long lines. You know, that's pretty much all I saw politically.
You saw
personally,
a lot.
There's that same day on Super Tuesday, a woman yelled at me for running past her dog.
Wait, what?
Her dog barked at me and she was like, you're supposed to run in the streets. And I was like, wait.
You're definitely not supposed to run
in
the streets.
I was like, no, I will die. Cars drive fast in Los Angeles.
She wanted you to run in the streets so that your dog.
So that her dog wouldn't bark at me when I ran by. Anyway, that's what I saw on
this
Super Tuesday.
Out. Yeah, this logic is sound.
LA,
yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's crazy class differences in LA, which really makes you think. LA and Miami were two places where I was like, wow, huge. It's a big difference.
You're like, I thought I fit in. I afforded my trip here, but
yeah.
It seems like it's a separate lifestyle.
That's why I like Philly. Philly's pretty, everyone feels pretty equal.
Yeah, we're a pro Philly podcast. Okay, so Super Tuesday. So here's what's interesting. All of this happened for Joe Biden. Obviously, I just mentioned that everyone dropping out probably definitely helped. But it happened seriously within days because he won South Carolina on Saturday. Saturday.
Did he?
Yeah. And then Super Tuesday, everyone was like, what up? I'm pretty sure it was Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Saturday.
And then like,
people dropped the next day and then the following day. Is that
right,
what it was?
Right. Exactly. And he's already announced that he wants to put Beto in charge of gun control. Great.
Cool.
Great. Just what I want to hear more from Beto.
Honestly, I think we'd be Beto without him.
Oh my God.
And I don't say that lightly.
It was cool being in California though when it was happening because like Bernie Sanders won in a huge landslide victory out there. So it was pretty neat to be like seeing people celebrating that and very excited about it because it's a very liberal city, Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's also just crazy. Bernie, like literally last week when we recorded, we were like, Bernie's objectively in the lead. We'll see how this goes. And
it's neck and neck.
It's yeah, I think Biden has more delegates than him right now. I mean, there's
he does, so close.
Yeah. There's more yeah. and there's more to come. But yeah, it really is crazy. And of course, apparently Pete, when he dropped out Sunday, wasn't sure he was going to provide an endorsement. Talked to both President Obama and Joe Biden's people on the phone and was like, well, I guess I will endorse 01011111 01. In activating endorsement mode. And then Amy Klobuchar was just like, fuck you guys. I'm qualified, but I guess I just have to support a man now.
And she threw a lamp at all of her staffers.
She apparently, like, the other day was at a rally and said something about how she was thrilled to be joining his ticket and then was like, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant, like, supporting him. Like, she, like, misspoke. And then Beto funny. Came out and went to, like, get burgers with Joe Biden for a great photo op. And then
love burgers. People love burgers.
Like, that's the candidate that I want. The candidate that I can eat a fucking pile of grease with.
I just
want
to eat a burger and hang out and talk about politics.
Okay, policies, schmalices. Who can I drink a beer with? Okay.
Tom Steyer.
Oh my God, Tom Steyer.
I'm trying to have a... Hey, this is a...
Tom Steyer drinks exclusively martinis.
Oh, man.
And we all know Mike Bloomberg loves big gay ice cream. It's his favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's no beer from Mike Bloomberg, just big gay ice cream. Side note.
Weird.
If anyone knows Tom Steyer or has any connection to Tom Steyer, we really want to have him on the podcast. And frankly, I'd just love to sit down and have a beer with him. So...
Oh, Hannah, I didn't tell you. I have tons of billionaire friends. I, of course, am connected to Tom.
He doesn't like... Apparently, someone told me that he doesn't like that people call him billionaire Tom Steyer. Like,
well, sorry, Tom. You're a billionaire. What are we supposed to do?
I wonder if I would like it if people... inserted my financial situation. I'm not going to say where I'm at in the tax brackets. But
net worth $0, Hannah Trapp.
Okay, I have a 401k, a small one. But
sorry, my net worth is $0.
Your 401k is so small, it's a 400k.
Oh, sick burn. But do you know why it's actually called a 401k?
It's like, I don't know, some tax code.
Yes,
thing.
That's the provision of the tax code.
Yeah, because I know the nonprofit one's a 503B.
What?
501c is a nonprofit.
Yep. But this isn't Hannah's arduous tax segment.
which Ross also often calls taxing. Hey, listen. Listen. People posted that they were inspired to do their taxes after I talked about it. So, America.
They were inspired because cool. they have to by law.
I like to think that
taxes are inspiring.
I know. They really are.
I'm so inspired to give part of my refund to TurboTax.
Yeah, I... Listen, if you haven't done your taxes yet and you have questions, please visit our website, www.keepmeposted.com.
So Super Tuesday.
Yes, Super Tuesday. So, okay, so now looking ahead, we have March 10th, Idaho, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Washington, Michigan. Sanders is, it's funny because some of these states, they haven't even polled people because they're like, whatever, who cares about Idaho? Someone will win Idaho, we'll see. And Sanders won Idaho and North Dakota over Hillary Clinton. In 2016, he's also leading in Washington state. Missouri, Biden has a narrow lead. And Mississippi, it's likely Biden. He has a very strong African-American base, but they haven't done much polling down there. Michigan's the big one because different polls have both of them leading. So it's like, who knows?
Interesting.
Yeah. So what do you guys predict? What do you think is going to happen? What are your thoughts?
I have literally no idea. I mean, on Super Tuesday, I was looking at 538. So I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen. And what was predicted on 538 is what happened. I was like, yeah, okay, this makes sense.
Wow. So, well, maybe they can get it right this time.
Yeah, it was pretty accurate for Super Tuesday. So it made me feel a little bit less like, oh, no, Biden, because I'll just say it right now, not a huge Biden fan.
he's definitely not everyone's favorite 78-year-old. Mm-hmm. Is he 78 or 79 or 80?
He's old.
Yeah.
He's also, listen, I am not publicly endorsing anyone except for Tom Steyer, but and I'm
weird.
Not what
I said weird.
Yeah. Just so you guys know what we're about here, Kate. Yeah, I'm not publicly endorsing anyone, but I will say Joe Biden doesn't look well. Yeah. This is not like an anti
thing. And
anti looks. Biden's ugly. No ugly candidates. Keep the uggos out of the White House.
Biden, here's my Stitch Fix code. Use it.
Well, like, I mean, he looks old and unwell. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. could we? He's got great teeth.
Bernie both kind of have that thing where like you're an old man, so like when your teeth are like backlit at all, you're just like, oh, it's all yellow.
No, Biden's very like cold play. Yeah, so
I was gonna say this is not important, but Joe Biden did tell me I have a great smile. Speaking of teeth, Joe Biden told me I have a great smile.
You do have a great smile, but tell us more about.
Yeah, that wasn't like a what? Who would tell you have a nice smile? Wait, when did you talk to Joe Biden?
I didn't talk to him. It was one of those moments where I went to a rally in 08 at University of Delaware, my alma mater, which is also Joe Biden's alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a speech and I volunteered and then watched the speech. And then I was at the front and he shook people's hands and he said to me, "You have a great smile." And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool that Joe Biden just said I have a great smile. I feel really good about myself.
How do you feel about it now?
I still feel pretty sick about it. Not a fan of Joe Biden, but when I saw his speech, I was like, this is fluff. This is very... a pointless. I used to do an impersonation of it when I was in college. It would be like politics are beautiful, the clouds are in the sky and everyone is happy, we will unite. And it was like, because that's what his speech was, it was very much like just pointing out like obvious things and then getting excited and you're like, okay.
Like, sounds his, like my stand-up.
His tone is, Biden's tone is always like he's about to get on a horse, but he never does.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, I feel like he's about to like grab his like upper thigh so we can get leverage to get on the saddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... honestly, I've never heard someone and imagined them then immediately getting on a horse. But I'm also afraid of horses, so
yeah.
I don't like to think about... I try not to think about them. Okay, predictions. Do we have them?
I have still none.
Okay, great.
Do you have predictions?
I predict that Tom Steyer is going to go pretty far.
Yeah, we're going to get a lot of write-ins from our listeners.
By that, I mean I predict that someone someday who listens to this podcast can get Tom Steyer on it. He's already irrelevant. Well, not to me, but it's going to be a year from now. He's going to be looking for work. We're going to be making millions off this podcast and he's going to call us up and I'm going to be like, you know what, Tom, I guess we can make time for you. As for the election, I don't know. Get out there and vote. I'm not going to tell you to vote for Bernie, Biden, Bernie. Those are two. Couldn't they have a little bit different names? Couldn't one of them be like,
I know,
Doug?
I guess you can say like Sanders, Biden.
But then you're like, ooh, are we getting chicken for the election? Yeah. And no, you're not.
Bernie and Joe. It's very, you know, politics moves so quickly. The news moves so quickly. We record this 2 days in advance.
Yeah.
But by the time you're listening to it, who knows? Maybe Bernie won all the delegates somehow or Biden.
I think it'll be close the whole way through.
I think so, too.
Because also, like, Bernie is like the underdog.
People love an underdog.
Yeah, people love an underdog.
Except for the establishment.
Yeah, and they're like definitely coalescing behind Biden. But yeah, what? So in Pennsylvania, voter registration is done by the 13th of April, and then we vote on the 28th of April.
So we won't decide anything.
Yeah. Well, I feel like
we can help.
I think there will still be a big impact from, yeah. Because it's like Pennsylvania votes, and then New York also votes that day.
Oh, right.
I don't know who else votes. I just pay attention to those ones because that's where my family lives.
Well, this has been a Super Tuesday segment on this Super Saturday.
I did have another thing to say about Super Tuesday that I just wanted
Let's
to
do
mention.
It. Yeah.
Which is what I found really interesting about Super Tuesday, because like the Biden versus Bernie thing wasn't super surprising.
Yeah.
After everyone dropping out. But I was surprised that Elizabeth Warren, her campaign was like planning to come in second place and like maybe even take a state or something.
Massachusetts.
Oh yeah, she was planning to take Massachusetts, but she came in third place. That was like the highest she came in mm-hmm. any location.
Yeah.
Which, and then that forced her out of the race, and I thought that was surprising. That was the biggest shock.
I honestly, I read a great article in The Atlantic that we'll post on the website with our sources, but it was just about how it's amazing that Elizabeth Warren didn't do a little bit better, basically. And it's like, I'm not going to say blame everything on sexism all the time, but there's definitely some sexism involved. Elizabeth Warren is like, the whole theme of the article was like, she's unapologetically credentialed. And like, as soon as people challenge that, she pushes back with like, okay, but I've also done this, this, and this. And she's very optimistic and confident.
Yeah.
And so they quoted someone in the beginning of the article who was like, yeah, I just can't stand her. Even when I agree with her, God, I want to smack her or something. It was like some it was some like random lady that was like asked about what they think about Sanders. They're like, or I mean about Warren. And they're like, yeah, even when I agree with her, there's just something about her I can't stand. And I was like, oh, well, that sounds all too familiar. Sexism is real. Politics are wild.
Also calling back to that moment, this was the funniest moment to me in one of the debates was when Amy Klobuchar, when she was like, you know how we can fix sexism? Put a woman in the White House. I was like, what drugs are you on?
I won't we all remember. 2008.
Racism was cured. Disappeared. That's all you do. You just elect a woman into office and then no one's ever sexist again. Someone saying that made me very angry because it's like, that's not how you fix it.
That's not how that works.
That's not how that works.
I mean, it would certainly
put us on. It's a whole societal sentiment.
Yeah, it would put us on a better path maybe, but I don't think that would
the
fix
cure?
It.
Yeah.
You know how you fix coronavirus? You elect it to office.
That is what you do, yeah.
Whoa. Oh, my door just opened.
Somebody's entering the apartment, so let's exit this segment.
And now for our final segment. What's Taylor Swift up to?
I'm very excited for this. Like, this, you kind of sprung this on me right when I walked in today for recording, and like, I'm really hype about this.
Yeah, tell us what you're hype about.
So Taylor Swift, this is, I guess when we're recording this, like yesterday, she released this new music video for her song.
She released it last week, but she just released the behind the scenes thing yesterday. So the song The Man.
The Man, which I haven't really heard her new album, despite you telling me over and over again to do it. Sorry.
I like it.
But I do really like this song. And so the music video is this guy just kind of man spreading and kind of just like getting, you know, classic kind of toxic masculinity traits. And then fucking Twilight Zone reveal, like, Taylor Swift was in the makeup chair for 5 hours every day to embody this man. And like, it's hard to tell in the music video. I went in knowing that it was her, and there are really only small little parts where I'm like, oh, I think I can almost kind of see Taylor from within all of this makeup and work. And it's a really good song and video. And I mean, I feel like you can probably speak to it a little bit better than I can.
I mean, no, I mean, I think that obviously I'm a Taylor Swift fan, but I think in general, this song is appealing for so many reasons because it's just very relatable.
Kind of like a more upbeat version of If I Were a Boy by Beyonce.
Yes, exactly. But it's this idea that her, you know, the chorus is, if I were a man, I'd be the man, because Taylor Swift has had such a good, you know, crazy career and stuff. But the video is awesome. And again, same thing. I didn't know it was her when I first watched it, but I also know Taylor Swift's style to like go big. So I was like, that might be her. And then at the very end of the video, they show you like briefly how they did it. And then yesterday they released a video with the full transformation and we were just watching it and you can hear her talking. Like, they'll do like, it's like an outtake and then she's like, oh my God, I have no idea what I'm doing. And it's like her voice coming from this guy. And you're like, this is so weird. Like, it looks like a totally different person.
And so the makeup artist that put her in this, it's the same makeup artist that made her into a zombie for Look What You Made Me Do, that video. And that, like, she looked so cool in that video.
Yeah, it was really cool. And the other cool part, and this is honestly, like, I think very cool for me as a woman, she directed it. You know, she, so not
realize
that. This is her first music video directed by her. And I think it's very cool that, of, you know, it's a statement about the song itself and all that. So
like, it feels very much the same kind of tone as the You Need to Calm Down video, where it's just like really like nicely placed shots that have a lot of beautiful detail and color.
Are you a big music video fan?
I appreciate them. Yeah. Like I the other day I watched all of OK Go's videos.
Oh.
And it's been so long and I forgot, just like, yeah, this is great and cool and creative.
I like music videos, especially for a song I like seeing what the artist envisions for it. I mean,
I'll fall in love with a song because of the music video. Like if I don't really care that much about a song, but then I see the video, then I'm like, okay, now I have like a different kind of feel about it.
It's also cool, like, say what you will about commercial pop music and all that, but the budgets on these are so big that they can do such cool things. Like, remember Adele's video for Hello was the first one that had ever used a drone, and there's this like amazing drone shot of her. Yeah. Wow. There's like this, it was like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. It was like the first one that ever used a drone. There's like amazing drone pan out while she's on this like riverbank. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just what we wanted to end with. A nice little upbeat story about, you know, confronting the haters against toxic masculinity.
And I know what you're thinking. Oh my God, Hannah and Ross, you're such big Taylor Swift fans. You need to calm down. But to that, we say, whatever, this is just a love story. And we'll stop talking about her in your wildest dream. And I'm done.
Oh, Ross, you're really, you got us out of the woods there. Well, deep cut reference. Okay, this segment's over.
Why you gotta
over.
Be so mean?
And now it's time for HTHT, Hannah Trav's Hot Takes.
Woo!
The subject today is, yeah, Kate.
Woo! The subject, yeah, I'm a party girl.
Well, that's perfect because the subject we're talking about today is hangovers. Ooh. I'm hungover. Thank you. I celebrated my birthday all week and I'm still celebrating. It's Saturday. I have until tomorrow. It's still my birthday. So last night I got drunk and I am not a big drinker, so when I drink, I have to physically prepare my body for about 2 days in advance.
Yeah.
What do you do to physically prepare?
I drink.
Push-ups. Oh.
Well, yeah, that I went to the gym on Thursday, but nice. Also I do a lot of coconut water.
Okay.
Hydration, tea, and then Friday I ate several protein-heavy meals. Mm-hmm. That was yesterday, Friday, but for the listeners, whatever. You get it.
Whenever you're listening, baby.
There's some listener with like a pad and paper trying to map out this time.
They're like, when do they record? What was it? What day?
She's when do mentioned I eat protein?
She's mentioned every day of the week.
Anyway.
All right. If I'm drinking on Thursday, then I must eat protein on Monday.
Anyway, the point is I had food and I
yes then, do it girl
and then tequila and then I had tequila but I didn't throw up this time.
I that's love good. tequila. Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Do
nice.
You who here gets hungover and throws up the next day?
Never. I've only vomited once in relation to drinking.
Whoa, I cannot relate to that statement.
Yeah, I don't throw up very much when I drink.
Yeah me either. No, I do. What do you throw up? When do you throw up then?
My bowels throw up.
After every. When do I throw up? When I have the stomach bug.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I hate throwing up. It's truly the worst.
Yeah, it's nothing I enjoy. I don't enjoy it, but my body just sometimes rejects alcohol.
It's time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh
yes,
my God.
I get to vomit today. Yeah.
So when you're
but I have been like drunk, so drunk that I have thrown up. That has happened to me.
The next day or the night of?
It would be probably the night of, usually. Okay. Not, it's not a next day thing.
Yeah,
for
I
me.
Try, like, if I'm feeling really bad, it's like I'll chug water and I'll try to, like, stay awake to like let the moment pass a little bit,
like,
so
like the spins.
Yeah, because if I close my eyes and try to fall asleep when I have the spins, then I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that's when I'm like, I'm gonna throw up. I should just go sit in the bathroom for a little while.
Vertigo
until it happens. Yeah,
I have this experience sometimes when I'm very hungover, and it's a fabulous experience, but it doesn't happen always. It's just like this like fuck it all energy where you're just like your brain is kind of like drained out and you're like I'll say and do whatever. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I don't care what I think of myself. I'm just going to go wild today.
And what does that look like?
Usually just like, you know, saying weird stuff on Twitter or Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then just going out in public and just being my weird self. Talking to people. I don't know. And then like this creative energy sort of sometimes where you're just like writing things and you're like, your brain just goes to interesting, weird places.
This is when you're hungover?
When I'm hungover.
I'm just grumpy. Wow. Like today.
It takes away this part of my, like, frontal lobe.
Yo, I want your kind of hangovers.
Yeah.
The one time I got really, really drunk, the last time, besides last night, the last time I, like, threw up from drinking was right before Christmas. It was, like, the 23rd. I went to an
that
open
is right
mic.
Before Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I went to, it was like, I was supposed to go to drinking on Christmas Eve with my family, and I like went to an open mic the night before.
Why? What is wrong with you?
I just love stand up comedy and alcohol. I went to two open mics.
Oh my God.
The first one was rough, so I had extra wine. And then my friend and I went to the second one, and we were like, should we do a citywide? Let's do it. None of us have to work tomorrow. Yeah. And then we got really drunk. But I woke up the next morning. This happens to me a lot. I woke up the next morning and I was so hungover, and I didn't throw up, which was great. I had thrown up the night before, but whatever. But I like had, and I had gone to the gym the night before, and I sat up in bed and I was kind of like, why am I so sore? Like, I went to the, I just did my normal stuff at the gym, and I look in the mirror, and I have
a
huge, I had a huge bruise on my like lower back. Like I bruise easily. So like I'll wake up, like if I like bump into a table or something that night, whatever, like I'll have a little bruise, but this was, it was huge. It was this huge black and blue mark. So I texted my friends and I was like, does anyone remember me falling last night? And everyone was like, well, we were drunk too, but we also remember you on 2 feet. So I must've come home and been like,
so messed.
Yeah, but hey, I'm drink responsibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like for me, I really, I'm not a huge drinker to begin with. Like I enjoy, but I'm never so much of like, let's do some shots and have a wild night, because I just like going, being able to go to bed easy without feeling like terrible. But I always feel a little bit accomplished the next morning when I have a hangover, because I'm just like, oh, look at me. I did it.
I'm cool.
Even though like this morning I felt terrible and I was just like wandering around Whole Foods with my boyfriend, and I was like trying to muster up the strength to be like, I just really want to eat a bunch of those Brussels sprouts right now.
Did you get them?
Of course.
Hell yeah. We got burritos this morning. My friend Andy's visiting from Richmond, Virginia for my birthday, which is, it's technically still my birthday.
We know.
And yay. I had set out, like I said, I set out to get drunk last night. I accomplished that goal.
Good.
I did a lot of dancing to Celine Dion, which was great. Yeah, I feel really good about it. And then this morning I woke up and was like, burritos. I need a burrito stat.
Nice.
I used to throw up all the time in college. My friends like have crazy stories. Like I would, one time we went to a bar, and the bartender, this is my best like hangover story, we call it the night I got, quote, Diego'd, because the bartender Diego at this first bar we went to offered my friend and I a shot called, he called, it was like a concoction he had made up, Diego's Iced Coffee. And it was like Grand Marnier, something else. I don't know. I had been drinking whiskey. So I did the shot. I should have stopped drinking right then. And then we went to two other bars and I kept drinking whiskey gingers.
Do you know Diego? He made something great for us.
Can I have the Diego?
So then we go back to our, this is in Newport, Rhode Island. We go back to our friend's house. Bars in Rhode Island close at 1, which is beautiful. I love being home earlier. But we went back to their house. And one of our friends had not come to the bar. He had to work. So we get there and he was like, how was it? And I have no memory of this, but I just turned to him and I went, so much whiskey, so little time. And then I walked up their steps, went into their bathroom and immediately started throwing up.
Hell yeah.
He was like, he called me the next day. He's like, do you remember your closing line last night? And I was like, I remember being in your bathroom for 2 hours, like, no, or not 2 hours, but a really long time throwing up until my friends got me out. And he was like, yeah, you at least had a pretty cool exit line. I was like, well, great. At least if I'm going to embarrass hell out of myself, yeah. I had a great closer.
Mm-hmm.
That one time I vomited, it was freshman year of college. And so somewhere on my laptop, I'd have to look for it. But I have like a selfie video that I took right after I vomited.
Oh, my God. We'll post it on the website.
Where I'm like consoling myself. And I'm like, Ross, you did okay. Like, look, you messed up.
You're never going to drink again. Yeah. Okay, please find that video so we can upload it.
Yeah,
because
I've been wanting to just not get hired anywhere if they do a cursory Google search.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about
that. We'll label it Tom Steyer 2020, and that'll
okay, yeah, if you're listening to this.
No one will ever Google that. No one will find
it. Well, because it's just Hannah Googling it, so it works.
It'll only be for her.
What? Do you have any good hangover stories, Kate?
Well, yeah, when I was in college, I definitely, you know, drank my weight. but I do recall one time, and I went to University of Delaware, graduated with Joe Biden, class of 1963. I don't know when he graduated.
It's going to be one of the Biden debate kind of stories where he just like is like, and my old friend Turkey was there. Like, it's weird.
I recall being at a party. I was way too drunk, drank too much. I went into the bathroom, like passed out, locked the door, passed out next to the toilet. And then my friend came in, or some stranger maybe came in and they were like asking me where I lived. And someone was picked me up. They were carrying me and they were like, where do you live? And I just kept yelling, I'm a hobo. I'm a hobo. Because I did not live anywhere at the time. And my friend took me back to
his house.
You
didn't live anywhere at the time? Let's dial that back.
Yeah, there was a period in my life where I lived in a tent in Delaware's White Clay Creek.
By choice.
But so it was just a crazy moment of me just
yo,
screaming.
Yo, there is a lot to unpack there. So you actually were a little bit of a
hobo. Yeah, I was homeless. But I think back to it, I'm like, Kate, you're crazy. Why did you do that? But I was sitting on the turf and me and my friends were painting our nails. And I was like, I had plans for the next semester that fell through. And they were like, Kate, where are you going to live? And I was like, I'm just going to live in the woods. And they were like, whoa, that's so cool. And I was like, yeah.
And then you did. You lived in the woods.
I did it.
For
you
how long?
Self-actualized. That was cool.
3 months. 3 months. It was very cold by the end. It was September, October, November, and then December.
Wait. By yourself in the woods?
Yeah, by myself in the woods.
What?
And yeah, my first night, cops came after me.
People knew you were there?
Yeah, my friends knew I was there. I told my friends.
Wait, so the cops came after you and were like, you can't
And then
be
I
here.
Ran. No, I ran away and I hid in the woods behind a tree for 5 hours and then ditched my backpack and went for a jog at 5 a.m. And while the cop car was staying there, I was like, they'll never know. I'm just a college girl.
Wait, they were fine looking for someone who was sleeping in the woods?
Because I slept too close to the I had a couple drinks my first night and I slept too close to the edge of the woods. And then the couple freshman girls saw me and freaked out. Me and my like cocoon of a thing. I was like, I'm just a year older than you.
Oh, the problem was you weren't deep enough in the woods.
I was not deep enough in the woods where someone would see me. And then they called the cops thinking I was maybe like some weirdo, which I, of course, was not.
Wait, you had a tent, though?
I did have a tent, but I mostly just slept in a sleeping bag. Yeah, one time I woke up with a raccoon like 2 feet away from me. And I was like, oh, I'm one of you.
Oh, my God. This is the craziest. That's so crazy.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. Anyway.
You're such a trailblazer.
Yeah, I'm a trailblazer.
Listen,
just
for
like
all
Joe
these.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, for all these kids out there listening
yeah,
to this podcast, you can do it, too. You can also live in the woods.
Yeah.
Just go deep enough.
Yeah, there were some scary moments. I have many a story about it. But, yeah, that was a period of time where I drank a bit, but if I drank too much, I would stay at a friend's house or something.
Where did you put your possessions?
I had a shed. My friends had a shed. I showered at the University of Delaware gym, and I spent a lot of time
in
the library.
This is amazing. Yeah, that's what people do when they don't have a house.
Yeah.
They have to get creative.
It's a whole thing. People do it. People do it into adulthood. I honestly wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. It was very difficult and hard. I did it because I was like, I will be independent. But I really had to rely on a lot of people.
Yeah. Wow. Where? How did you eat? I'm sorry. Did you have a meal plan?
I did not have a meal plan. I would.
So you had to make a meal plan.
Yeah. I would actually eat a lot at this place called Pita Pit. And I had a little bit of a system, which was at Delaware, they had this like booklet of coupons. So I just got like dozens of the booklets and they had like buy one, get one free Pita Pit. So I'll buy one, get one free. Then I'd get two punches for getting the two things.
Oh.
And then I'd get a free one on my 10th one, which was actually my 5th one. So I would I ate a lot of pitas is what I'm trying to say.
Wow.
I honestly don't remember what else I did for food.
I'm so glad you live inside now. That's
yeah,
great.
Me too. I have a home.
Yeah.
And
you can
great.
Be hungover in
there,
your house.
In my own house, and it's totally fine.
Or you can come over here and be hungover.
I'll be hungover wherever the damn I want.
Yeah, man. Okay, so to wrap the segment up, don't live outside if you don't.
Unless you feel like it is kind of a life-changing
unless
experience.
Unless you're really cool like Kate.
Yeah, unless you're really cool and prepared for it like Kate was.
I was prepared. Yeah, I had a whole thing. I had a thing. I had down pants. I looked like a walking garbage bag. I had really thick, warm clothes.
I'm so retroactively worried. I know this was years ago, but I am like worried about you sleeping outside. I'm like, what if she gets I'm like just surprised none of your friends were like called their parents one day and they're like, yeah, Kate's stuff's in the shed. Like she's sleeping outside. And then her parents were like, their parents or your parents were like, maybe let her sleep in your house.
My friends offered me to stay at their place, but okay. I was like,
you were like, I was like, double down on that.
Yeah. I was like, I am doing this.
Time I'm drunk, people offering me things and I'm like, no, I have an idea about how this night's supposed to go.
I planned on taking like the bus home after a night of drinking and it's like 1 a.m, I'm like, well, I said I was gonna take the bus.
Yeah. I walk so home I from must. Things.
Oh yeah. That's the best.
Yeah. Actually walking home drunk is.
You feel weirdly safer. I'm like, people aren't going to mess with me because it looks like life already messed with me.
Also, yeah. I have a habit of, you were saying this when you're hungover. I actually do this all the time. I usually sing out loud in my headphones while I'm walking. Like midday, I'm not. Because
you're
about.
I don't give a fuck energy. That's what it is.
It's honestly, it's pretty much all the time. But especially when I'm drunk, like, dude, walking home from like Center City, it's about a 30-minute walk for me. And I'll just have my headphones on, I'll be just jamming and singing, and I'm like, I wouldn't approach me, I look insane. I look like a crazy person.
Kind of nice.
Yeah, the other night I was walking a little tipsy and I was singing like, somebody took Black Widow and like made it into major key so it sounds like a happy song.
What's Black Widow?
That song by Iggy Azalea from years ago.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't worry about it. But I was like singing like a weird happy version of it. And so I was like, yeah, I'm
very strange. Yeah.
Did this guy like make this a major key song? Because it really has a more minor key vibe.
Use like transposition software?
Is this auto-tuned? Okay. I don't understand music recording.
Neither
production.
Do I.
I don't know how it works.
We've made it through an episode, my first episode recording hungover.
Hell yeah.
And wow, it's been a real wild ride. So
let's fucking drink.
Yeah, so cheers to you guys. Woo. Wait, I do want to say one more thing.
Okay.
Because we've already talked about Tom Steyer. Do you want to know what makes my hangovers worse?
What?
My concussion.
Oh.
We have the Keep You Posted drinking game, and I realize it's not a real
game. Yeah, we're all hungovers. That wasn't a good...
I thought about it in the beginning of the segment where I was like, oh, well, we make jokes about the Keep You Posted drinking game every time I mention Tom Steyer, my concussion. And after my concussion, my hangovers would get like, for the first couple months after, because I couldn't drink for the first month. But then when I did start drinking, like I would get headaches like right where the concussion happened. And so then I didn't want to drink anymore. And that's why I'm even worse at hangovers now. But happy to report, no concussion related headache.
Yay. That's awesome.
From my hangover today.
That's awesome.
And with that, now we can end the segment.
This has been Keep You Posted, hosted and executive produced by Hannah Trav. Produced and edited by me, Ross Wiseman. Our art and logo is by Kristen Finger and our music by Graham Trav. For a list of our sources from the episode, bonus content, and to get in touch with us, visit us at www.keepyoupostedpod.com.